Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, and we're also joined by our good buddy, John Peters, down in sunny Florida. How you doing, John? Grab your stool.
Thank you. Happy spring to everybody.
Yeah, to you.
Same to you, John. I'm looking out my window. It's snowing right now up here in Boston.
Yeah, me and Dan are getting smacked around up here while you're down there in your Crocs or whatever the heck you're wearing in your summertime sunshine or your springtime sunshine. Last night a storm went through here. I thought the whole second floor of my house was coming off. That's how bad it got. Oh yeah, we had 60 to 70 mile an hour wind gust here last night.
Oh, wow, like straight line winds, one of those deals?
Absolutely. This is the second time in a month this has happened. The last time it ripped shingles off my roof. And now it just, I woke up this morning, I went outside, that's why I was running a little late to call you guys, because the wind's finally calmed down enough for me to roam around out there for a while. And thank God nothing else came off the roof.
Wow.
Yeah,
overnight, Doug, or?
Oh, absolutely. I was the first, you know, this is the second Sunday I've had off in over a month. You know, I'm all happy to go to bed early. We had it, you know, I'll talk about that too before I went to bed. But I got to bed early. I fell asleep by like quarter after nine. You know, I crashed. One of those deep, hard, nice sleeps.
Yep.
And then next thing you know, at 11 o'clock, I'm hearing the wind is shaking, like banging. Here it's sleeting, and it's driving wind, beating the sleet against the windows. And that woke me up, and then my wife woke up, and then the downstairs, then the cats start to cry in my room and scratch, and they're scared. My dog's like out like a light. Nothing scares that idiot. But, you know, and then we're up all night. I end up watching two movies. I was up till 3:30 in the morning, so good for my day off, huh?
Just what you need, right? With your schedule as erratic as it is right now, now your sleep pattern screwed up on the one day you have off, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, wah, he's crying again. He's crying again. But, no. So, on top of that, before all this happened, I was, little Disney blue. I've been listening to Magical Mouse Radio and, Mouse World Radio, anything I can to keep me going during the day, you know, thinking of my trip to Disney with all these hours I'm working. So, my wife, we're going to order out last night. So, I decided to go to, remember I told you, John, I was going to go to the Kilt?
Yeah, get fish and chips.
Yeah, I was going to get fish and chips, and I got their Scottish egg as an appetizer, trying to make me dream of being at my Rose and Crown, guys.
Right.
Oh, my God. When I tell you, I could have thrown a hot dog on the ground out on the back deck and rolled it around and ate it, and it would have been better than what that was last night.
Very disappointing.
It was the chips are so greasy. Fish. I mean, I had to take the skin off and just eat the cod out of the middle, if you follow me.
Yeah.
The fries were, like, wilted. And then the Scottish egg, I could have stuffed... The sausage was horrible, and I could have stuffed cardboard in the center. It couldn't have been drier.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, you ever eat a dry hard-boiled egg, and it's like you can't get it down? It's like eating a cracker with nothing to drink?
Right.
Yeah.
That's how these eggs were. I wanted to cry. I mean, I ate it because I was hungry, but I couldn't eat it all. I ate two of the three pieces of cod after I took the skin off. But I'm all trying to get in my happy place, and it was very, very disappointing, man.
It wasn't cooperating.
No, but, I mean, have you had their fish and chips before, John?
No, we have a couple down in Clearwater in Tampa, but, I've never stopped at them.
No, well, I mean, I think every, because me and my wife, every time we go by it, it's packed. So the commercials were on for while I was listening to the games. Like, I was listening to my WIP sports radio, and they had advertisement because our Villanova's in the Final Four. They won last night, so congratulations, Villanova. And all day long, they were doing advertisements to go there to eat. So I know it's like English, you know what I'm saying? I could, you know, Scottish English. I could, yeah, it was making me think of Disney. So the only reason the guys go in there is for the girls. Because, you know, at least, and even at Hooters, the food's decent.
Yeah, yeah, wings at Hooters are actually really good, so.
Yeah, so this is the first thing I got. We've talked before, sometimes there's a bad day. But the next time I eat there, I will be there so I can return it. If it tasted like that, I would have to go see the chef. Just to see who was actually cooking it.
What was it? What's the name, Doug? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it.
The Tilt and Kilt.
Tilt and Kilt. Yeah, I don't think we have them up here.
No, so, I mean, it's just my opinion. I mean, watch me get sued now.
Unless they want to be a sponsor.
Yeah, no, it was just bad then. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they were just having an off day, but, you know.
Yeah, someplace like that, it tends to be a little tastier if you're actually, you know, sitting there and you maybe get yourself a bass or something and you actually enjoy the food fresh out of the kitchen as opposed to taking it home, I think. So.
Yeah, because I'll give a place another chance. We've talked about this before, but I was so disappointed. It was like the prices weren't bad. The service, it was ready when I got there. I mean, I know the guys probably go there just to see the girls. I mean, but the food wasn't up to, I mean, yesterday's wasn't that good, man. It disappointed me more because I was so excited about it, I think.
I feel so bad for you. What was that character on the Flintstones? Schleprock?
Yeah, Wellsy Woo-Woo. Yep, Schleprock.
I think we're going to change your name to Schleprock for the time being, because you just can't catch a break anywhere.
No, the good thing is I'm getting plenty of hours in, a lot's going into vacation fund to book my next Disney trip, so that's what's getting me through it.
There's one positive out of this big bag of mess.
Yeah, I am working. There's a lot of people not out there working. I'm not really complaining. You know, it's just the storms last night. It was just one of those nights where you ever so comfortable, you're out cold, and you just want to.
Yep.
Besides real problems, you know, that's not a real problem. But you know what I'm saying? The little things that drive you nuts.
Yep.
You know, you ever doze off in your chair on a Saturday afternoon and you're in that comfortable little sleep and then somebody bangs on the door and you want to go insane? You know what I'm talking about with that, right?
Yep.
Or the dog.
A little jump.
Yeah. Or the dog decides it hasn't been out all day. Yo, Dad fell asleep. Let's go.
Yep.
You know, you're just getting in your comfy place. So how was your weekend?
Yeah. I'm gonna aggravate that.
Exactly. So how was your weekend, guys? Anything exciting happen to you two so I can stop my crying?
No, nothing. What do we do? No, just a normal food shopping and just a normal, well, what should have been a spring weekend, but it's more like winter this weekend up here anyways. But no, just I think the highlight of the week was looking forward to recording with you guys this morning.
Well, that's good to hear, Daniel. A little bit of flattery helps me out.
Yeah.
So you barbecuing today, John, in flip-flops, or what's going on?
Did that last night. Got the steak grilled last night. Yeah, we had a front come through yesterday and gave us a lot of rain, but because of that, it cooled off pretty much. We got up to 90 three times this week already, so it felt like we were in high humidity and everything, so we felt like we were in summer, but that front came through last night, cooled it off a little bit, and it's supposed to be a high of like 69 or 70, 72 today, so I'm going to get out there and take care of my yard.
No, so, lucky you.
Yeah, that sounds perfect. 72 and low humidity. That's where we should be right about now, right, Doug?
Absolutely. Pick us up, Dan.
Yeah.
My buddy Robbie's down there right now. He lucky dog. He's a history teacher at a local Washington Township high school, and he does the class trips every year down in Florida. So he gets a free vacation every year because he's a chaperone. Yeah, he's done it, I don't know, probably the last 12, 15, long, long time he's been doing it. And he brightened up my days this week. He'll text me 4 or 5 obscure picks every single day. So far, I'm like 23 out of 23. He's getting aggravated. Like, he took a picture like of Carousel Progress with just the doors where you couldn't see anything. It's just the wall.
Right.
And got that, and you know, all the, and he tried to get me bad. This is he this is how bad they are. They trying, him and his sister are trying to get me to mess up. He's walking in the Animal Kingdom, right? And he's taking a picture of Everest, which is the mountain lion over top of the trees. And right next to it is the entrance to Finding Nemo. But that's all you see is the standby entrance. That's the only thing in the picture. So I'm thinking he's trying to get me like he has been doing. So I answer, Finding Nemo, the musical. And he texts me back, no, Expedition Everest. I'm like, come on, man. Who don't know that big snowy mountains Expedition Everest? I said, I should get bonus points for knowing exactly where you're walking right now. And you're standing by Finding Nemo when all I see is all it said is a sign, standby entrance. That's all it's... Until he goes, okay, I'll give you both credit. I said, no, you're not giving her credit for knowing what the snowy mountain is. Just
yeah, that's kind of a pretty obvious one, right?
Yeah, absolutely, dude. It's like, you know, standing in front of the castle and asking what it is.
Right.
Well, I'll try to do one better for you next week, Doug. We should be heading, I think we're about running about 70% chance of getting out to the parks next Sunday.
Oh, you need it, John. You really need to get there,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it's been like a month.
I mean...
But get on the Skype call, and I won't tell you where I'm at, and I'll let you listen to some of the background music and see if you can figure it out that way.
That'll be awesome. Now you're thinking, John, helping with the programming on this show. I mean, about time, man. Just for that, I'll even let you buy today.
All right. that's a good start. To trademark that's something that would be unique to us live. Yeah. Where am I now based on the background music? I like that.
Exactly. Then if we don't get it, you can start giving us and which one of us gets it.
All right, so I'm gonna tell you what park I'm going to or anything, so and not necessarily park, but so you know,
any Disney property.
Yeah, exactly, so.
Yeah,
but you can't cheat and go to SeaWorld.
Yeah, and then what we'll do is, as we're on the air, you guys are all part of geeking out with us now. What we'll do is, know how you ask if it's bigger than a bread box? You start asking for hints?
Yeah.
Me and you could start asking for clues.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and get him to give us the answer, like slowly, you know, we can ask the color of it, where it's at, blah, 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 and he'll have to give us little hints as we go along and see who gets it first. That could take up a couple hours, guys.
I don't know. It might surprise you. You know, you get one of those loops, and you could pick it out really quick. So you never know. So
did you guys do anything stupid for April Fool's Day? You didn't get anybody, did you?
Nah, I try to stay away from that stuff. In fact, the day before, I wrote myself a note just saying, tomorrow, don't believe anything anybody tells you. And, you know, it's been many years since I've gotten I got caught with one of those. I don't know. It just irritates me now. I know it's supposed to be kind of a fun thing, and I'm being boo-hoo on it, but I don't know.
No, I'm boo-hoo on it, too. Yeah, I'm not a practical joke kind of guy, period, because I'm not an eye for an eye guy. I'm a whole body for an eye kind of guy. So I don't do it because I don't like it done to me.
Yeah.
And I know how I overreact to things.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. I walked into work on whenever it was. Monday was, or Friday, whatever day it was.
Yeah, Friday.
I walked into work with one of my colleagues, and, you know, she's telling me, oh, she starts, isn't that terrible? They passed that new law that you can only have two pets. And, you know, I'm listening to her. It's early in the morning. I haven't had my full coffee yet, and I'm listening. She's all upset because, I guess, you know, she's saying that they're going to have these drop-off centers for your excess pets and all this.
Lord.
I'm listening, and I'm listening. And then I look at her, I said, what's today's date? And she, you know, fumbles around, looks at her phone or whatever, and sees it, it's April 1st. I said, you might want to check the facts on that one before you tell anybody else. And she, you know, all embarrassed. Oh, my God. It was a radio station on the way in. They were doing a spoof or whatever, and they had a bunch of people convinced that in the state you could only have two pets only, and any excess you'd have to get rid of. Which obviously was silly to begin with.
Yeah, like they're going to come to your house and check everybody's house, you know. They come to my house, they can have Presley if they can get him. I dare them to try to take him with them, but...
But to answer your question, I'm not a big fan of the April Fool's stuff.
And it was funny because the Be Our Guest, they did their whole show. And I mean, it's fun. They do it every year. I don't think anybody falls for it anymore. Like the things they were doing was they were playing tongue-in-cheek. They finally went over the price hikes that we all talked about.
Right, right.
And they, you know, and God bless them over there. They put their happy spin on everything, that everything is beautiful and Disney does it for you and not the blah, you know, the world. And that's good because they like to stay positive and that's their thing there. But they were going on and on, like, did you use a special bathroom, you get $5. Did you hear that? Pay an extra $5.
Yeah, I did hear that, actually. Yeah, I got to agree with you, though, Doug. That's kind of tradition for them. They've
yeah.
done that, I think, since the very, very first
yeah.
year. You know, and it was, you know, pretty unique when they first started doing it. But you're right. Now everyone's used to it. Or
it's just more of a comedy now. It's like watching Saturday yeah. Night Live, and you know it's going to happen. You know they're going to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah. It's tradition, and they do a good job at that, so it's pretty good.
But some of the things they came up with, like you could pay an extra $15 or $20 a trip to get special seating on a bus. I could really see that coming. Yeah. I mean, I could also see it because they were talking about how great Yeehaw Bob is and everybody else. I could see a $5 or $10 cover charge coming to the River Roost one of these days. Right. You're going to charge me $15 for internet. Next is going to be $10 to sit in the River Roost.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but, you know, when they say these things, but some of the things they're coming up with, like, did you hear the new one? And I that one I think is true that they were mentioning because they went from all the true stuff then into the fake stuff.
Right.
The charge to have breakfast to go in the new Fantasyland early?
No, I did not hear that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be breakfast at Pinocchio's house or one of them. And it's like $69, and you get to go on three attractions. It's Winnie the Pooh, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and Peter Pan. And you get breakfast, and you get early access to those three rides.
Yeah, I did hear about that one.
Yes, so I mean that one's true. And my thing is, and they you know they put their happy spin on it, which those guys always do. They're saying that none of these extra $150 after hours one is affecting Magic. Extra magic hours as of right now.
Yeah.
But I could see all this stuff, if it's popular, they're not going to, if they can add days, they're going to take days of extra magic hours away. Don't you guys agree?
Oh, yeah, exactly. And you're right. I know this is a limited run and it's supposed to end and all that, but let's face it, it's all testing. And if it's successful and it's profitable, you know, they can easily just say we're going to extend it or it's a permanent thing. So, all of these things may end up being with us in the future. And you're right, Doug, taking away a little bit of the extra magic hours in the evening or potentially some hours in the morning to accommodate these special programs for the breakfast that you mentioned and the parties that we mentioned, you know, a couple of shows ago, they're nibbling away at the available hours in particular Magic Kingdom. And, you know, that annual pass or that day pass or whatever whatever way you paid for your admission to the Magic Kingdom on any given day is going to be less valuable than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and
from a time perspective.
Exactly, and this is the way she, like Pam, tried to spin it, and I get the way she was thinking for a part, like the 150 extra to stay the extra hours at the Magic Kingdom, the 3 extra hours or whatever, you know what
yep.
I'm saying.
Yep.
She tried to save for $150. If you think about it, you get to do everything. If you're on a short trip for like a 4-day trip or something, this way for the $150, you know you're getting to see everything. It's cheaper than spending the night at the hotel room.
Right.
Okay. What hotel are you staying at if you're a family of four? $600 a night. I mean, you know, I mean, I get where her logic was trying to go. And if you're one person, it might be worth the $150 instead of staying an extra day at Riverside or something where it's $200 a night during peak time of the year. But if you're a family of three or four, I don't think that dollar equates, if you follow me. Now you're at $600 a night.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I understand they try to, and that's what they do, and we love them for it. That's why we love the show and all. But every once in a while, you can say this is getting a little much.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we were all pretty clear on what our view on
yeah, absolutely.
This isn't anything that me or my family is going to participate in. But, you know, I guess in unique situations it may be a value, but you'd have to, boy, for $600, like you said, for a family of four, and God forbid if you have more than two kids.
Or look at our buddy Pat Giannetti. He's a family of seven.
Yeah.
Or six or seven. It is. You know, I mean, holy moly.
Yeah, I mean, well, it'd be interesting to see what Pat's perspective is on this, but I just can't envision him shelling out, you know, $700-800 to bring his tribe to that, you know, evening. Yeah. I just can't imagine it.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. If you're all individuals or some, you're a single visitor for the night, maybe you want to do it because you only have the one day there.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, and they did say that, and I do. I mean, not to go bad. I mean, they did go say that they're starting to, it's starting to feel bad how everything came out at one time with the nickel and diming you. That's, I think, what the problem is because everything was in such a short amount of time. That we got hit over the head with it. You know, that was the problem. If it was spread out over a few months, I don't think it would have hit us as hard. But yeah, it seemed like every time we logged on, it was something new.
Yeah, and sometimes that's a strategy. I mean, like, even, you know this, Doug, even like professional sports teams and stuff, if they got bad news to deliver or unpopular news to the fan base, sometimes they just say, you know what, let's get it all out there. Let's take our lumps for 3 or 4 days on talk radio and then move on, and it'll be in the rearview mirror. So maybe they took that approach and said, look, none of these things are going to be popular to the, you know, the Disney fans out there. Instead of taking the heat for 6 months or a year, let's just put it all out there at once and take our lumps and move forward.
Oh, absolutely. I get what they're saying. And we're not trying to be – I'm not trying to be negative. I was just mentioning the April Fool's Day thing. And I thought about calling you guys up to do something, but it's like – I said, nah, I don't even want to do that. What I was thinking about doing is, Dan, is have you and John hook up and say Doug's off the show for a while just to see what happens. You know, or do something like that, or say you were missing again, or have some fun that way to see what kind of reaction we got. If I was missing, they'd probably be, what a better show this is. The crybaby's going. Mr. Big Mouth.
Neither of us know how to run the controls.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what I would have did is I would have hooked you two up like we talked about with my surgery.
Oh, right.
Where I was afraid if I wasn't going to be able to talk, I was going to hook you two up and let you guys say that Doug's not joining us at the pub no more. He's going to be gone for a while. And then I would come in like halfway through the show or something.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been funny.
Yeah.
Or it would have been, yeah, again, you may disagree with me, but it would have even been funnier if we could have got Scott to give us a visit and just have him come on like nothing's happened and he's been doing the show right along.
Uh-huh.
Funny, too.
Yeah, dream sequence. The Boston Strangler's, the Boston Butcher's gone. He never existed.
Exactly.
But yeah, it would have been fun. I mean, but yeah, we'd have probably got, if I'd have just left it where I wasn't on, and then we came back Sunday, like today, like nothing ever happened, it would have been pretty good too. But I said, nah, I don't want to do that to everybody. I don't want to stir the pot. But it would have been fun, I think.
Yeah, too much work to put out a regular show. Oh, go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I retweeted that silly news story that I forgot who it was that came out with, but they were going to retheme Epcot's Future World to Star Wars, and Spaceship Earth was going become the Death Star. So
yeah,
that was the extent of my April Fool's joke.
Yeah, the graphics on that were pretty good, though. I give them that.
It was pretty funny
for the ball. Oh my God, Dennis and Bob Sycom would have gone down and strapped themselves to the spears.
Yeah, that story actually got my wife for about 3 minutes. She was reading through it, and then she got to some part where they were going to turn the land into Jar Jar Binks.
she knew something was up at that point.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that's funny, though. Yeah, and our good buddy John, our good buddy Bob, we want to congratulate him. His son got married this weekend, so congratulations to the Sycon family.
Yeah, Bob and Mary, congratulations to you and to Joseph and his bride. It kind of came out of nowhere, or at least it seemed to come out of nowhere, but we saw some pictures of particularly Bob in his nice suit, and he was looking very dapper.
Yeah, Tennessee tuxedo he was. He looked good. He cleaned up pretty well. I didn't expect that out of him.
No, he looked good. So,
do you know, did they go to Walt Disney World on their honeymoon?
No, we don't know. I don't know where they're going.
Yeah, we don't have any details, but we're hoping to get Bob on fairly soon, and I'm sure he'll tell us all about it.
Yeah, because we want to get Bob on, if we can, to argue this top 25 list that he had.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, yeah, the brackets that he broke down. The TTA got a horrible seed. Did you see that seeding?
Yeah, that was, I don't know. We're going to have to get into what went on there and how he put those brackets together.
Yeah, there were some easy brackets and there were some really, really hard brackets. Like, there were some brackets that had four major ones in it. Another one had like flour and gold. I mean, like things that I like, but it wouldn't have been in my. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I told him we need to have a new election committee next year.
We'll get to the bottom.
Yes, we're gonna be we're gonna have to be on the election committee next year, Dan. I think we earned that, don't you?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, so I don't know. You ready to get into some news, Johnny? I mean, Johnny. You ready to get into news, John?
Sure.
As Dennis reads it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, start us off with our news around the world.
Yeah. So, latest look at the Pizza Planet refurbishment. Let's see here. Nearly everything Toy Story has been removed from the Pizza Planet restaurant in the newly renamed Muppets Courtyard at Disney's Hollywood Studios. The characters and signage are gone, and just the rocket on the rooftop are remaining at this point. So work is underway removing all the parts of the still overhang in front of the building. And no word yet from Disney on what the future holds for the facility, but... rumors are abound, I guess, that it's going to be rethemed to Muppets. What do you guys think?
Well, that's exactly. I mean, it's going to be called Muppets Courtyard. So, I mean, they did say that. That's one of the things that Ricky did put out there months ago, that she thinks this area is going to be saved. And I didn't see it happening. And it looks like it's going to be saved, and it's going to be Muppets Courtyard.
Yeah, makes sense to me. I mean, I think that, you know, where they're going to have the courtyard there and apparently the attraction staying, you know, to have those two things together makes sense. And, you know, myself, I think that's a good thing. You know, although I didn't like the food in there or the pizza, but I think that the, you know, the Toy Story characters themselves are very popular, but its location would be wrong now. I mean, if they could move the whole thing over to, you know, the new Toy Story land that's coming, or build something else, which I'm sure they will, that's why they can, I think, easily get rid of it without anybody really crying over it, because I'm sure there'll be some sort of themed restaurant or restaurants over in the new Toy Story land, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be something going on. There's going to be Buzz's Brewery or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Or, yeah.
John's all over that.
Yeah.
You know, what I'd love to see is, you know, the actual building from Toy Story that the Pizza Planet is, and kind of redo or do that there, or not there, but over in Toy Story Land. And then maybe, I mean, what, you know, the true Pixar geeks would just get a thrill out of is have that pickup truck out front, you know, the one that shows up a lot of times in the different Pixar movies, but especially in Toy Story. So
I know what you're talking about. It would be really cool.
That would.
But I hope the pizza, I hope the food's better in here now with the refurb.
I mean, that pizza, I don't know of anybody that really raves about the pizza. They just say that their kids love going in there for the theming, and the pizza's just an afterthought. You know, it's been years since I've eaten anything in there. I just, you know, I just walk by it. I haven't stuck my head in there, and it's 15-plus years easy. So
mine's been a good 10.
Yeah, really, 10 years.
Yeah, for me, I haven't been in it. I mean, I know I'll be in it next trip. I can't wait to see all this new stuff. And
right.
I wonder what's going to happen to Mama's.
From what I hear, it's staying. The last thing I heard, anything to do with this this whole refurb, that Mama Melrose's is going to make the cut, and it's going to remain themed as it is, and the name as is as well.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know if they were going to add a Muppet little bit of a curve to it or something in the decoration or the decor of the place or somewhere on the facade.
Right. I mean, maybe they will and have the Swedish chef be the head chef. How about that?
Yeah, or Muppets Mama Melrose's or something. You know, Miss Piggy's Pork. I don't know.
That would be wrong. I don't want the pork
shop. Miss Piggy's Pork Meatballs or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Something crazy like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, I haven't heard that, but I mean, I would say that, you know, anything's on the table at this point. If they're going to make a change, now's the time to do it, right?
Yeah, because it's supposed to be Muppets Courtyard. I'm thinking that maybe that restaurant, I mean, I hope they do keep it, because it's one of the few things that my buddy John and his wife is happy about with all the things going on at Disney right now. That's his favorite restaurant, that guy John I work with. Yeah, he loves Mama Melrose. They eat there every single trip. It's kind of his California Grill and my Rose and Crown or Le Cellier. You know, that's their go-to place.
Yeah, I mean, I don't put it in that category, but I will say that, you know, I do. I should eat there more because we enjoy it when we go there. And again, I said it. My problem is that I'm not at the studios that much nowadays, and that's why my dining opportunities have been less, so that we haven't eaten there. But I like Mama Rose's as well. I got to agree with that.
Yeah, that's good food, and the prices are good. It's a good deal for the food that you get. I mean, I know people complain. That's one of the major things with Italian food that people complain about. Like, because everybody can make their own meatballs and spaghetti at home, they think it shouldn't be a lot of money. It's only pasta.
Right.
Well, the guy who's making it's got to get paid. You know, I'm on both sides. I know I argue both sides of the fence. I go crazy when things are over the top. But,
right.
Yeah, if you're paying, like, you'll hear people, I'm not paying $23 for spaghetti and meatballs. Well, dude, somebody has to cook it.
Right.
I mean, that ain't crazy. Now, if you're going to charge me $40 for spaghetti, now I'm going to get angry.
Right, wait 5 years and you'll be paying $40.
You get what I'm saying. But you can go with a family of four for under $100 and have a decent meal. Yeah, you know, eat decent in there. You can get there's good options in there. That's what I consider. You ever eat Mama's?
You know, the one time we ate there, we actually did the dining plan 1 year, and that was the mistake because I felt the need to get our value out of every single meal, and
mm-hmm.
so me and my wife both got the steak there.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the appropriate dish to get at Mama Melrose.
No.
It was okay. It just, you know, it wasn't fantastic. And
you pulled the old, we're going to a steakhouse and you order fish.
Yep.
Or
you're
going, But I understand
Italian
the
restaurant
strategy.
And getting a grilled steak.
Yeah, like I did it, like I told you guys, at down at all the steaks I had that week, and then I end up going to House of Blues and getting a steak instead of jambalaya.
Etouffee or something, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was okay, but if I go back, I'm definitely going to get some kind of a pasta dish or chicken or something like that. So.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea, Johnny. there's comfort Italian food in there. I mean, the flatbreads are really good.
That's what my son had, and he liked it, so.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, the flatbread pizzas are $14.99, $16.99, you know, $14. I mean, they're all within. You got a rosemary chicken flatbread, a margarita flatbread, you got a vegetable flatbread. They're all between $14 and $17. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The prices here are, and I know you're saying prices of pizza, but it's still you're sitting down and getting served, so it's worth it.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they have, or at least they had years ago. I mean, you can get a chicken palm or, you know, something
yep.
just traditional, you know, nothing fancy. But, you know, it was good, as I recall. And, you know, we enjoyed our meal, and we would definitely go back there.
Yeah, they got pasta primavera, chicken campanella, oven-baked chicken parmesan, which is $21.99 that you got. You know, so I mean, that's what I'm saying. The prices, like, this is one of those places, John, like you just said, it isn't worth the dining plan.
No. Now, if we ever did the dining plan again, it would be all buffets and stuff like that, you know, like the Cape May, Boma, that type of stuff, and Ohana, which are the overpriced buffets. That's
right.
The ones that I would hit. So.
You know, and do like they were talking about the other day on the Mickey Dudes, which I wasn't even thinking of that. I forgot about that. Like, The two dinner ones over at the Wilderness Campground, the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review and the barbecue, from what they were saying, it's all alcohols included. So your beer and wine is included in those prices.
Yeah.
So
you can get beer or wine. That's always been the case. So,
well, that makes I forgot about that with the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review. That does make it a little more worthwhile because at a normal meal, if me and Brenda each have two glasses. Yeah, there's another $30.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something you have to consider. If you do enjoy a couple of beers or glasses of wine with your dinner, it is included with the package price for those two shows.
Yeah, you got the charred strip steak, Johnny. It was $32.99. And even that, you need an entree for about $40 to make the dining plan worth it.
Yeah. We'll never do the dining plan again. But, that year we did get it. And that's what I was trying to do, was get the most expensive item on the menu. So.
See, to me, and that kind of takes the fun out of it. I mean, you're stressing out of how to, you know, get to maximize your dollar. And instead of getting what you really want to eat or what you're in the mood for, you're making your decisions based on money. And to me, that's just too much stress. I don't foresee us ever doing the dining plan again either, John.
No, because honestly, I would come in here and there'd probably 50% of the time I'd want to go with the flatbread.
Right.
I mean, if I'm in the mood for that, I don't want to waste the dining credit on a $14.99 meal. Right.
Take out your Disney gift card like we always
exactly.
do. Buy what you want to buy.
That's what I say. If you're going to go do the Disney gift card, I mean, if you're going to do the dining, go to your local Target. If you have a Target credit card, you know, use the 5% and buy a $1,000 Disney gift card.
Right.
Yeah, well, do something like that. Or even go get a Visa gift card or any of them and load whatever the dining plan would cost. Just put it on the card. What's the difference if you're handing on that or swiping your ban?
Yeah, we've done that for years. And every time we go down, that's where we put our food money in. You know, the odd times that we eat at a restaurant that does not take a Disney gift card, which there aren't very many that don't. I mean, obviously all the Disney restaurants do, but some of them at the Swan Dolphin do or don't, as I recall, and you can get jammed up there. But as long as you look, you go on, you know, you go on the website, you can see which places take it, and it's pretty, I'm going to say it's 98% of them take it, so you're safe there.
Oh, absolutely, and I love it. I mean, there's nothing better than, like I said, like on a trip and taking pictures at the restaurant after somebody gave me, my sister-in-law or my brother gave me, or my brother-in-law gave me that $50 gift card or $30 gift card, and we have a dinner with it. You know, we put it towards your dinner and we send them a selfie of us having dinner saying
yeah.
Thank you for your Christmas present.
That must make them feel good and you feel good about, you know, getting either a free meal or certainly most of it paid for, depending on where you went, and it's good all the way around.
Absolutely. I got four of them sitting upstairs right now that are burning a hole in my desk.
you just got to get down there to use them now.
Exactly. So what's next as we mumbled on about mamas in the in the courtyard?
Yeah, 2016 Sounds Like Summer Concert Series lineup announced. Epcot Sounds Like the Summer Concert Series begins on June 5th, 2016, with three new tribute acts this year, Fleetwood Mac, Tina Turner, and Bruce Springsteen. Included with regular park admission, the tribute artist concerts take place in the America Gardens Theater at 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m. Here is the full lineup for 2016. June 5th through 11th, Don't Look Back, a tribute to Boston.
Just
June 12th through 18th, Hotel California, a salute to the Eagles.
Awesome.
June 19th through 24th, Rumors, a Fleetwood Mac tribute band. June 25th through July 1st, Simply Tina, a tribute to Tina Turner. July 2nd through 9th, Stayin' Alive, a tribute to the Bee Gees. July 10th through the 16th, Bruce in the USA, a tribute to Bruce Springsteen. And then July 17th through 23rd, DSV, a tribute to Journey.
Okay, let's have a little fun with this, guys, just off the top of my head. If you had a list on from the one you'd want to see the most to the one you want to see the least, how would you do it? I'll give you mine first so you guys can think about it. Journey would be my number one. Number two would be the Eagles. Then it would be Boston. Then it would be the Bee Gees. Staying alive. Then it would be the Bee Gees. Then it would be Tina Turner. I mean, Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac, I like Fleetwood Mac and Rumors. Then it would be Tina Turner. And last for me would be the Bruce. And he's from Jersey.
All right.
Not a Springsteen fan, huh?
I don't hate him, but it's like, I don't know. I just don't drink the Kool-Aid. It's never been my thing. I mean, I don't get on people because Bruce Springsteen has a major cult following, man.
Yeah.
Around here, if you say you don't like Bruce, it could be you could get expedited out of the state and stuff.
Find you in a dumpster.
Yeah.
So, but he, like, you know, Jersey Girl, all that stuff. It just, he's never been my cup of tea, as we say. But I'll deal with it. But every other one, I would be I mean, every one of these I'd be happy to see, but this is a great lineup this year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Very, very strong lineup, and I don't recall it ever being this strong, and maybe they just went to the straight-up tribute bands, and I don't know if they used to bring back any of the old, you know, like they do for Flower and Garden, Food and Wine, but anyways, my I would go Fleetwood Mac 1, Boston 2, Eagles 3, Journey 4, Bee Gees 5, and what did I miss? The last one would be Bruce for me as well.
Well,
that's
funny
you say that.
You skipped Tina Turner. Tina Turner or Bruce last?
Tina Turner, then Bruce.
Me too.
We talked about this, and I cannot stand him. I cannot stand him.
We're going to lose all of our Bruce Springsteen fans here.
He's going to save us. You've got to stick up for Bruce, or we're going to lose a lot of listeners here.
So, what would your order be, Johnny?
All right, I'd go with Journey is number one. I'd say Eagles probably number two, Boston number three, and then number four would be Bruce.
The show.
Yeah, I don't mind Bruce Springsteen at all. So, and then five would probably be Fleetwood Mac. Number six would be Tina Turner, and the last one would be the Bee Gees.
You don't like Staying Alive, or? I use my walk. I'm a woman's man. No time to talk. Oh, did I sing that out loud? I apologize.
I think I have a. When I was in second grade, I think my mom bought me a Bee Gees plastic lunchbox to go to school.
Oh, you poor thing.
But I only had that for a year or so because I got my Star Wars one. So.
How bad did you get beat up,
Exactly, right? Mom, I need that Empire Strikes Back one.
I was going to ask, did they get you ABBA the next year? Or Wilson Phillips, I mean. Oh, that's funny.
The funny thing is, I mean, I've been a Journey fan for a long, long time, and we walked past them last year, and it was the same guy as the DSB, and I looked at the sign that said DSB, but I didn't read the rest of it. I just saw the DSB, and then they were singing. It was horrible. They were actually singing Don't Stop Believing. They were doing a great job, not that. It was my horrible job. I couldn't think of who sang Don't Stop Believing at the time. My wife's asking me, and I'm going, Loverboy?
Are you sad? How'd you even think of Loverboy?
Yeah, and then I turned around and realized it was friggin' Journey, and she will not let it go, just constantly. So it's a year later, and she's still teasing me about it. So,
because
you're a Journey fan, yeah.
Yeah, because usually all their cover bands are awesome. I'd like to see the Tina Turner... band dude, Proud Mary, keep on burning. I mean, I'm sure that would be a like uplifting kind of concert. A lot of her music is like adrenaline flowing.
But
these are the things that make it worth. This is the things that make the admission worth it that you don't realize that you're paying for.
Yeah, until they put some ballards up there and it's $15 extra to get in the American God Theater. And that's probably coming, right?
No, we hope not, Dan. But you know what I'm saying. This is the little things that you don't think about when you're booking your trip. And they do play three times. There's shows at 5:30, 6:45, and 8 p.m. So I would like to hear. I like Fleetwood. All these groups, man. I'd be happy to see any of them stand there and drink a cold sarsaparilla and, you know.
Oh, go ahead, John.
I was going to say who that had last year that I'm kind of missing this year. I wanted to see was Slippery When Wet, the Bon Jovi tribute band. I wanted to see them, but it sounds like they got replaced.
I'm a Bon Jovi Jersey boy. I like Bon Jovi. I grew up, half my childhood was listening to him.
Yeah.
So, and what were you going to say,
John? Here all the time. He hangs around with Belichick at practice and everything. They're good friends, so John Bon Jovi is... He's all over the place.
He was trying to buy the Buffalo Bills.
Excuse me?
He was trying to buy the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, yeah. He loves football, I guess.
Yeah, he owns our local arena football team, the Soul.
Did he own one of the Canadian teams at one time? I thought he was dabbling with that as well.
He could have been. He's worth a lot of money, that man.
Oh, yeah. Those rock stars, they've got money to burn.
Yeah. But I don't think he burned any of him. He kept almost every penny from what I hear.
Well, he's smart. One of the smart ones, anyways.
Absolutely.
Moving on to the next one. They have the photos of the Tiffins, the new restaurant over at the Animal Kingdom, which I had slated as a store down in downtown.
It was, if you were Bob Uecker, just a bit outside.
Yes, I was only a little wrong there. there. But yeah, anyways, these pictures are interesting. And the first thing that comes to me, and I think it's pretty cool, is if you look at some of the animals they have on the walls there, the pictures are, it looks like maybe they're hanging from the ceiling of the floats that are in the Rivers of Light show.
It looks awesome, don't it?
It's the same artwork anyway. So.
Don't look at the picture, John.
Nope. Got 3 weeks, and we're going to go check it out, so.
All right, block your ears then. But, yeah, Disney, they shared some of the new concept art and the detail for Tiffins. Which
you see them totem poles?
At Disney's Animal Kingdom. The 252-seat restaurant is located in Discovery Island next door to Pizza Fari and will serve both lunch and dinner in a signature restaurant setting. A post on the official Disney Parks blog offers some new information on the dining rooms and the inspiration behind their design. Tiffin's is the signature restaurant at Disney's Animal Kingdom, celebrating the culture of design and research that went into creating the unique park, said Emily O'Brien, Walt Disney Imagineering executive show producer for Disney's Animal Kingdom. O'Brien describes the interior design as a gallery you can dine in with artwork that is a direct result of travels to Africa, Asia, and South America, which influenced the design of the park. The ideas of the park's design team, including sketches, photography, architecture, and textures, are all presented in a way that is uniquely Disney. All of the senses are explored and turned into amazing works of art, said O'Brien. The galleries, or dining rooms, focus on Asia, Trek Gallery, with 74 seats, and Africa, Safari Gallery, with 64 seats, and the third, Grand Gallery, with 114 seats, pays homage to animal species that the Disney Conservation Fund works to protect. The travel-inspired artwork includes a static, three-dimensional piece that features the prayer flags blowing in the wind. As our research team traveled up the high mountains of Nepal, the winds were strong, explained O'Brien. The prayer flags are really seen hanging. They are always blowing. The portrayal of the motion is realistically captured in the display, which will hang above a corner booth in the Trek Gallery. Let's see here. Tiffin's is not about a make-believe place. It's about real people and places, said O'Brien. Disney's Animal Kingdom is about intrinsic value of nature, transformation through adventure, and a personal call to action, and the adjunct Nomad Lounge brings into focus these core values. With beautiful waterfront views, the lounge focuses on storytelling and also on guests' travel, with large banners as artistic representations of answer to travel questions written on the perimeter wall. For instance, what do you always do when traveling, or what was your most adventurous moment? We're trying to tell the story of how guests make a change, said O'Brien. While the answers of the Disney experts are displayed, guests also have the opportunity to purchase a tag that supports the Disney Worldwide Conservation Fund and to write their own answers to the questions to display above the bar, a way to share their own travel story so they can be part of the story, said O'Brien. So, yeah, this place is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, did you see the totem poles that are all etched out in there with all the animals and stuff in them? Don't they look awesome?
They do. There's some nice artwork there. Just interesting, though, I picked up on this, and I'm sure you guys did, too. Where did it say it here? What did they call it? It's a new signature restaurant. I wonder what that means as far as...
two dining plans.
Yeah.
Two dining credits.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
This is going to be comparable to Gico California Grill at this level of a restaurant?
Yeah, it's going to be their version of the, whatchamacallit, the Brown Derby at the studios and Le Cellier at Epcot and, you know, whatever is at the Magic Kingdom that you could consider signature.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace, I guess. Or
yeah.
No, not Crystal Palace.
No, there's nothing signature. That's my, you know, be our guest at dinner.
Yeah, I guess that'd be the closest. Or in the castle there.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? This will be the first, even though I love the Yak and Yeti, but they're considered this to be their first high-end restaurant at the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And
I think it's going to be a dining, it's going to be a dinner show. They're going to have dinner shows the same way they do Brown Derby for Fantasmic.
Oh,
I guarantee it.
Light, yeah.
Yep. I mean, no, I'm saying, like, they have Brown Derby, yeah, for Fantasmic. They're going to have Tiffins now for Rivers of Light.
Yeah. Oh, it's a nice option to have. I mean, it's, you know, like we keep saying, you know, the Animal Kingdom is going to be a park where people are going to close their Disney day at now, and they need something like that. So it's going to be awesome.
Isn't it sad, though? Like, don't you feel this way? And you hate to feel this way because I love people. And whenever you know me, I'm a weird person. I love people, but I'm not a people person.
Yeah, no,
you know, I'll do anything for anybody if you're nice to me, but I don't like, you know, rude people. You know how I am.
Yeah.
But I'll give you my last drink of water. That's the kind of guy I am, unless you throw it at me. And, I'm crazy that way. But it's like, don't you, like, when you root for your sports team all these years, and they don't do good, and then they finally go to the championship, and everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Don't that drive you nuts?
Yeah, it's like, where were you 5 years ago when we were 1-15, right?
Exactly. Now, I'm going to be at the Animal Kingdom fighting through traffic to get to my Yak and Yeti and my restaurants and closing it out, and I'm going to be angry because everybody else is going to be there with me.
Yep.
It's like it's going to be – everybody's going to be waxing poetic about how much they've loved the Animal Kingdom for the past 20 – it's always been my favorite park. No, it hasn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
maybe you'll be able to bust Ricky on Be Our Guest.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it. But you know what I mean? I've always loved the Animal Kingdom. It's been my favorite from the beginning. I could never not go to the parks and not see. Whoever said it's a half-day park, shame on you.
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be plenty of those Johnny Come Lately, says for sure.
Yeah, and I know. I think we should be able to go there first with our buddy Safari Mike and hang out for the day. We should have front row seats at the River of Lights, is my opinion.
Yeah, they should be able to go back over the years and see how many hours you've spent at the Animal Kingdom and give you some sort of little tag or something, you know, to say, hey, this guy's put his time in since day one, you know.
Yeah, what is the OC, you know, or OG? I'm OG with the Animal Kingdom. I'm an original gangster of the Animal Kingdom. Yeah, me and Safari Mike, I brought you along, Den, before all this broke. We're OG,
right,
buddy.
Right. That would be good.
Yeah, I wear my tan and green.
Yeah.
That's our colors.
Camo.
Yeah, the tan and green outfits.
Okay, so moving right along here. New Sense of Africa tour coming to Disney's Animal Kingdom Lodge.
For 15 bucks. I'm sorry.
Sense of Africa is a 3.5-hour experience that begins with breakfast at Boma. Taking place before the restaurant opens, some exclusive dishes will be on offer, along with the restaurant's regular breakfast buffet. A cast member from Africa will share stories and explain some details of the restaurant. Next up is a ride on a safari truck to head backstage for some close-up animal encounters, which may include giraffe, ostrich, or a copy. The tour cost $249.99 per person, with the minimum age of 10 years old. A 15% discount is available for annual pass holders and DVC
members. See, you guys are taken care of, Dan.
Yeah. The tour groups are small, with just 12 guests taking part, and the tour is available on Tuesdays and Saturdays. Reservations should open next week on April 5th. What say you guys about this?
I mean, it sounds wonderful,
yeah.
but for $250, I mean, unless I hit that Mega Million tomorrow, Tuesday night, I don't think I'm going anytime soon.
Yeah, you know, family of four, you're going to drop a grand, I don't see it.
Yeah, plus tip, you're over a grand if you tip somebody. I mean, I don't know, what's the signature meal going to be? I mean, they're going to give me a Maine lobster to just fall off the boat? I mean, for breakfast, what are you going to get that's obscure?
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, as nice as, I'm sure the animal encounters are probably the best you can buy, really. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a unique experience that you can't get just, you know, doing Kilimanjaro or staying at the lodge itself. But, at least me and my family, my finances cannot absorb something like that. I'd love to do it if I got comped and they gave it to me or somebody paid my way. I'd certainly do it and look forward to it, but it's not anything that I foresee being done by me anytime soon.
No, the crazy part is me and Brenda could eat on that $500 for the week.
Yeah, there you go.
Really? I mean, just the two of us, we we probably spend in a week probably between $500 and $700 on our dinners. You know, I usually put like $750 away for meals. And that's and I usually don't, you know, you always bring extra in case you want to, you know, what I'm saying. But that would be close to $500 around what we spend usually on a week for worth of food.
Wow. Yeah, so I mean, just that in itself, I mean, you could take what three more trips to Disney and have your food paid for.
Right? Yeah, if it's four, I mean, could you imagine you and your kids? I mean, and like you said, Dan, I'm sure it's beautiful, and this is for the people that have money to burn. That, like you say, they light their cigars with $100 bills. Well, yeah. There's who's going. You know, Lovey and Thurston Howe III are going to see this. The Skipper and Gilligan are going to stand outside waiting to drive the car home. That'd be me and you, Dan.
Yeah, you're right. John, you going next weekend when you go?
My AC broke down. I got a $416 AC bill, so I paid that instead of going on this. So, you know, it was right there. But.
Yeah. You're good move, John. You, yeah, this thing will be over in, what, 2.5 hours, whatever it is, and you'd be sweating for the rest of the year down there in Florida.
Yeah. Interesting as that sounds, I think the Wild Africa track at Animal Kingdom, I mean, if I was, because I think that one's, what, $179 or something like that. That one sounds like it would be more interesting or I don't know, just a little more interactive for me. So
yeah, because how many, I mean, you get to see all these animals at the Animal Kingdom Lodge anyway. What's this for, the lazy people?
I think maybe to feed them or something. So.
You better. I mean, because if not, they're all that close at the lodge anyway, almost. You know what I mean? You could see all this. And then you go on the safari ride for free. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the meal better be a $200 meal is the way I'm looking at it. The $49 is the animals, $200 better be the meal.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to hear, you know, I'm sure somebody in the Disney community we know or know of will go on this, and it'll just be interesting to hear what exactly they offer, because it must be something very spectacular. It's got to be. I mean, for that kind of money, it's got to be something that... you know, it's just so unique and that would attract people to it, you would think.
No, well, we'll see. I mean, especially being at so low of, I mean, the positive thing of it would be is just 12 people is only allowed on it. So it is a secluded little thing. But I would rather take the money and go on the Behind the Magic tour. Get to go down in the Unitillers and have lunch and all with that instead of this myself. I think you would get more out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
for half the price.
Let's see, speaking of characters, Stitch will be the new meet and greet character in Town Square at the Magic Kingdom. He'll be replacing Marie, and you can catch him daily at the flagpole. So if Stitch is your cup of tea, he'll be able to see him right out there on Main Street.
Weren't we just talking about that he's harder to find now, and now all of a sudden they're putting him out? It's weird. I mean, he's they're reinvesting something in him. I wonder if there's another Stitch movie coming out or something.
Yeah, maybe you're right. That's a good take by you. Maybe that's what they're doing, starting to grease the wheels for getting everybody fired up for Stitch again for a new movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, but it just seems like all of a sudden he's coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, remember years ago when he used to do the spiel on the monorail and stuff when it was really bad, when they were really promoting him? Remember he would come over the loudspeaker on the monorail and, you know, do his crazy yells and stuff.
Yeah, it would freak you out every once in a while when he would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like that. I, of course, you know, I'm a traditionalist, so I don't like anything upsetting my normal, you know, Disney background sounds or what have you, and that really irritated me, actually.
No, I it did me too. I like the monorail spiel, the normal talk. I don't need anything extra.
Right. I mean, you know, I'm glad they stopped it. I mean, they're going to do cut-ins with, you know, like Iron Man, and, you know, where do you stop? It could be, you could go crazy with that stuff, I guess.
Well, yeah, it's the free advertisement.
Right. Let's see. Seeing how it snowed, at least up here in New England and down in New Jersey, dates are now available for the 2016 Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party at Nights at the Magic Kingdom. The special ticketed event will take place on 21 nights this year, the same as in 2015. Wow, they didn't increase it. I'm shocked. But anyways, for your planning purposes, November 7, 8, 10, 11, 13, 15, 18, 27, 29. And then in the month of December, it's 1, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9, 11, 13, 15, 16, 18, and 22. So if you're going down for the over the holidays next year, I guess you can start getting your tickets. They're not available yet, but knowing Disney, they'll be available fairly shortly.
Yeah, well, they couldn't take any more they couldn't add any more dates because they want to keep the extra 153-hour dates open.
Yeah, right, yeah.
They're saving room for that, man. There's going to be a special $250 one probably for Christmas time to see the park decorated. You're laughing tongue-in-cheek, but I could see that, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. They're trying to, you know, do whatever they can to increase their bottom line, so I absolutely can see that.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I'm thinking that's where next shoe to drop.
Yeah. Let's see. More dates added to the afternoon tea at Disney's Beach Club Resort. Let's see. Have been added to the afternoon tea experience in the Crescent Solarium at Disney's Beach Club Resort. Along with a classic afternoon tea, there will be also savory, sweets, and alcoholic beverages on offer. Dates now include May 5th through 8th, June 16th through 19th, July 1st through 4th, and September 1st through 5th. Service is available between 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. Reservations can be made at 407 WDW Dine. I've never done this. I don't know if you guys have. John, have you done this tea thing over there at the beach club?
I'm not a real tea guy, but
if it had bass in it, he might do it.
But staying at the beach club a couple of times, I always like just, you know, you could grab your breakfast over there at the grab and go, and then if you wanted to, you could walk through the solarium and kind of find a nice comfortable seat to sit down. And they even had a television in there and stuff, and you could relax. So it's kind of a shame that they're taking away one of the, you know, just relaxing areas and making it into something for just a select group of people instead of allowing everybody in there. So
yeah, it's interesting you say that, because when we did our Disney cruise for our 25th anniversary, we stayed at the beach club, and that's where they queued everybody up to get the bus to go over to Cape Canaveral to catch the ship. So yeah, and the other times that I've stayed at the beach club, it's hardly ever used. I mean, you could just you're right, it's just like a quiet space where you could just hang out or just, you know, talk or what have you. And you know, this is going to be run limited times, obviously, but I think that space in general is very underutilized. I don't know, but it's a beautiful space. You're right, John. The overstuffed chairs and tables, and, you know, there's just room where you can kick back and just kind of chill at the beach club.
We've done that a few times, walking through there. Even when we haven't stayed there, we've, you know, we go over to have dinner or whatever. We'll come out there at nighttime and just sit down for a couple minutes and, you know, take a load off your feet.
Yeah.
And now it's going to be another area where you're shooed. Now you're waiting to go to the Canaveral. You have to wait outside underneath the carport.
Yep, outside you go.
On one of the benches out there.
Well, anyways, it's just interesting, though. Again, I was looking, and in this particular story, it did not give a price. Do you guys know what it costs for this particular offering? I don't. I have no idea.
No, I haven't seen any pricing on it myself at all.
Okay, then we'll move along. I'm sure it's probably, what, 19 bucks a head or something?
Something like, well, yeah. It all depends. I mean, the one over at the Grand Floridian is up there. Some of those teas are, with the whole deal, is like 60, 70 bucks.
Yeah, I was going to say, the one at Grand Floridian is really expensive. So.
Yeah, depending on what tea you get with what food, if you follow me. What there's like different selections you can make.
Right, well, it said beer and wine is served or whatever, so you're right. This has got to be all of that, if not more, I would say.
I would think so.
Yep. But anyways, we'll find out. Let's see, over at Epcot we go. The Tomb Warriors exhibit at Epcot's China Pavilion will be closing for a refurbishment later this spring. The closure begins on May 2nd through to June 16th, reopening to guests on June 17th. No word yet on if the refurb on an existing exhibit or something's new in its place. This is really cool. It had been many years since I even looked at this, but like three trips ago, I was I was over there in this pavilion, and I really took a good amount of time and checked this out. What an awesome exhibit this is. Have you guys really looked at this one hard?
It's really cool. There's a bunch of them around World Showcase.
Oh, it's just, I don't know, just how each figure is unique, and the facial features on them is just, it was pretty amazing. Like, you would think it would be just duplicated over and over, but every one is just so different. It's just an amazing exhibit. I just, you know, I had forgotten. I had seen it years ago when we first started going, and then kind of, you know, blew it off and never really paid it much attention. But for whatever reason, I was in there, and I kind of rekindled my love for that exhibit, because it is awesome.
That's stuff you walk by.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my favorites, is that even if we don't see the film, it's to go in there and really look at them and get a grasp of what it took to make, you know, the real ones.
Right.
And to show that, you know, at the end of the day, the China, that exhibition did the job that Epcot intended to do, was that we've seen that, we had seen that several times, and when we were in Houston visiting my in-laws one time, at their museum, they had the touring group of the real Tomb Warriors from China. And because my son had seen the one out at Epcot so many times, he wanted to go and see the real ones. And so, you know,
wow.
It achieved its goal, you know what I mean? So
yep.
we went over there and saw those. So, yeah, and it's very, very interesting, the whole thing there. So.
Yeah, I know you like all them exhibits, John.
Yeah.
We do, too.
Favorites.
Yeah, the Norway, the church, and all the way around. That's the stuff that you just, that's why, you know, the motto of our show is slow down, look around, and enjoy the view, because that's all the stuff that when you're in such a hurry that you just blow by.
That's one of my favorites, but the one that is incredibly overlooked, and there's hardly anybody, I think I've been into it 20 times, and maybe 2 times there was other people looking at it, is the one in Morocco there to the left.
Mm-hmm.
I never see anybody else in there looking at the stuff in that one. So.
No, they're all amazing.
Yeah.
And to drop back real quick, then, I have the menu for the Crescent Solarium for the afternoon tea menu.
Lay it on us.
But there's no price for this either. It's crazy. But I'll give out, it has a Seaside Park tea. Includes a selection of artesian cheeses and seasonal accompaniments, petite sandwiches and canapes, and house-made breads, scones served with clotted cream, lemon curd, seasonal jam, house-made pastries, and tea cookies, all accompanied by your choice of loose leaf tea. And then there's the Sandy Cove tea, petite sandwiches, and a canopus of house-made breads, scones served with clotted cream, lettuce curds, and seasonal jam, house-made pastries, and tea cookies, all accompanied by your choice of loose leaf tea. And then there's the Prince Cove tea, house-made chimichurri and cheese plate, petite sandwiches and canapes on house-made breads, scones served with clotted cream, lemon curd, seasonal jam, the same thing, house-made pastries, teas, cookies, all accompanied by your choice of loose leaf tea. And then there's a short sands beach tea for children. But it's weird, like, I got the menus up that I always have with all the pricing, and there's no pricing on this.
Maybe it's they're so embarrassed at the price they just won't publish it.
I mean, I can guarantee it's not free.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, you can't get a good glass of clotted cream anymore.
Yeah, I hear you, buddy.
Where do you get your clotted cream at?
I don't know.
I get mine down here at the farmer's market. I ask for 2 clots of my cream and extra sugar.
It's not very appetizing, does it?
No. Lemon curd and clotted cream.
it's just cream, but I guess for the price they're asking for this, they got to throw an adjective in front of it, right?
The only thing I can think of, I've never had it. Maybe it's just a lot thicker.
Yeah, I don't know, but
I have
sure
no
one
clue.
Of our listeners will. I'll have to ask my son. Maybe there is something to it in the culinary world, but I've never heard it before.
What I'm thinking it probably does is, and this is just me guessing, the clotted cream. Maybe it makes it like whipped cream. It makes the tea thicker. Like, it's, you know how you put a whipped cream in an Irish coffee or something like that?
Yeah.
That's probably what it is. It's probably whipped up cream. It's just another way of saying it.
Well,
that's my guess. I could be wrong as usual, but that's where I'm going with my culinary expertise over here.
good guess as any. But anyways, yeah, we'll get a price for that coming up. Let's see here. Club Villain discounts extended into April and May. The discounted rate for Club Villain at Disney's Hollywood Studios has now been extended in April and May. The discount is available for annual pass holders and Disney Vacation Club members and lowers the regular $129 price down to $99, including tax and gratuity. Discounts are available for the 9 p.m. shows on Saturday nights for April and May. You can call 407-WDW-DINE to get reservations for annual pass holders or via DVC member services for vacation club members. They're honoring the discount for existing reservations. You can just call again 407-WDW-DINE and DVC member services if you already have a reservation at the higher rate. The special event at the studios was originally priced at $99, but has increased to $129 in February when the dates were released for March and beyond. So, yeah, we mentioned this a few shows ago that, you know, this is one of the few things you ever hear of that they at least initially priced one of these things and then have pulled it back at least temporarily.
Yes, they need people to come, right? That's about it. That's the bottom line.
You know, supply and demand, right? If you don't go, they'll lower the price, and it's proven right there. So,
yeah, we all need to stop going for a year.
Yeah. That would kill me.
Just 6 months. How about we do a half a year? Everybody put a moratorium on a half a year.
You try living 60 miles away and not going for 6 months.
That would be torture for John, right? Yeah. At least we had the excuse we're far away and it costs money to travel there.
Come on, John. One for the team, buddy. Get the prices back under 100.
Norway Pavilion Stave Church closing for refurbishment amid hints of Frozen ride opening date. Let's see what this is. The Stave Church in Epcot's Norway Pavilion will be closing for refurbishment next month. The closure begins on April 18th through May 27th, reopening to guests on May 28th. The church currently houses an exhibit about the inspiration behind the animated movie Frozen and opened in November 2013. Most interestingly, the opening date of the Stave Church may give further reinforcement to a possible opening date of May 28, 2016 for the entire Norway Pavilion makeover, including the Frozen Ever After ride at the Royal Summer House meet and greet. Again, that's just rumor, but that's what this particular story is saying.
Well, you need to be there April 28th, John.
I don't know if I want to wait in the 3-hour line.
Well, you'd be the only one in the church. Everybody else would be there for Anna, and also you'd be in the church.
I can definitely do that one.
There you go, buddy.
That'll be fun. And this one will hit you hard, Doug. Your beloved Walt Disney World Railroad is closing for 2 weeks in April. The Magic Kingdom's train will be out of service, next month. The work begins on April 11th through April 22nd, reopening to guests on April 23rd. So, they've been doing a lot of work on that. I don't know if they're doing sections of the track or what have you, but they've taken the train down quite a bit at, 1 and 2 week intervals over the last year or so.
This is just my thinking, and I know nothing, but this is just me being clairvoyant again. I think it has something probably to do with maybe that new parking lot or something they're doing in the back.
Yeah, it could be.
Maybe they need to get in and out the back of the park or something. Maybe they're doing some work back there where the train running obscure, gets in the way. I don't know.
Yeah. And so, like we said, every time we cover this story, even if you don't ride the train, just having that ambient sound in the background is... when it's not running, you kind of miss it. At least I notice it not being there. You know, you're like, wait a minute, something's different. You don't hear the horn or the whistle and all that. And I don't know, it makes the Magic Kingdom feel different to me when the train's not running.
Oh, I love the train. You know, everybody knows that. There's nothing better when I see that, when I'm walking up and that it's pulling into the station and just hearing the wheels churn. It's happy time for me. And then I go to the wife, and I know it probably annoys her. Look at everybody just walking right by it, hon. Nobody's going to it. They don't know how to get to it. There's not enough signage to tell you how to get to the train. There really isn't, though.
No, you're right. If you're under the the main entrance, there's some signs, but you're right, Doug. If you, I could see where a first-timer would show up and not really understand what's going on. I don't know.
Especially when all the characters and all are on it. Like me as being a newbie, the very first time I went, I didn't know I could ride it. I thought it was just for the cast members and stuff. Like it was for show, not for go. If that makes sense to you. I mean, if your first time there, would you really 100% sure that you could ride that?
No, I wouldn't. I mean, you'd figure it out pretty quickly when you see other guests getting on
But
it.
I don't really, you don't see everybody. The problem with it is everybody's eyes, and not a problem because it's beautiful. That's what it's supposed to do.
Looking at the cast,
You're
right?
looking straight down Main Street, the confectionery with the smells calling your name. Everything looks so beautiful. You just keep walking, and you forget the train's right behind you.
Absolutely. I totally agree. But
most people realize it's there when they're leaving. Holy crap! I could have rode it. if you're walking out of the park.
You know, you're walking around Frontierland, and the station there is almost hidden. As much as I go, I still have to look for the entrance to it. It gets mixed, it kind of muddled up with the Splash Mountain lines and stuff.
Absolutely. The only one you can 100% see now, in my opinion, is the new one at Fantasyland.
Yeah, that one's real evident. So.
Yeah, that's like, okay, I can ride this thing. if you went left and walked all the way around, you'd realize by the time you got to Fantasyland late in the afternoon. But I just think that there should be a little more signage or something to tell you train entrance. Ride the train, or they don't really talk about it. It's not even really advertised on anything.
No, it's just one of those things. You just, if you're a Disney World fan, you just know it. And if you're new or you're going for the first time, I guess you're just going to learn about it, and then from that point forward on all your future trips, you make it a point to ride it if at all possible.
Oh, I'm loving me some train. I can't wait to get back down there and hop on it. It's so relaxing to me.
Absolutely.
That, then go to the TTA, back to the train, back to the TTA, back to the train.
That would be fine by me. Let's see what else we have here. I apologize for the pronunciation here.
Or the pronunciation.
Chef Yuhai Naga.
Awesome.
However you say that, takes on role of executive chef at Morimoto Asia. Earlier this week, Chef Mahasari Morimoto and Patina Restaurant Group announced that Chef Yuhai, I'm going to call him, had taken on the role of executive chef at Disney Springs Morimoto Asia.
I can see you walking up to him. Hi, Chef. You hi?
Chef Yuhai. Yeah. Y-U-H-I.
No.
How you say it? Chef,
you weren't getting what I was saying. Chef Yuhai?
No, I think.
Okay.
That's, I think, how you pronounce it, though. First met the famous Iron Chef and restaurant mogul early in his career. I met Chef Morimoto as a young chef in Hawaii, where I grew up. We bonded quickly over our love of fresh fish, big flavors, and new cooking techniques, said Chef Yuhai. While the two chefs would run into one another throughout the years at various functions, Chef Yuhai went on to accept positions throughout Spain and later in New York City. In fact, Chef Yuhai comes to Morimoto Asia from a position as executive chef at Patina Restaurant Group's New York City-based Sea Grill. We look forward to seeing what Chef Yuhai brings to the table at Morimoto Asia. On a related story, Chef Brian Pasecki is leaving from California Grill. Thanks to Scott Joseph's Orlando Restaurant Guide, we also have big news about the chef who helms two of the Walt Disney World Walt Disney World's most popular signature restaurants. Joseph reported on Sunday that Brian Pasecki, chef de cuisine at the California Grill in Disney's Contemporary Resort, will be moving on to an executive position within Walt Disney World. Chef Pasecki, who has headed the fine dining spot for 7 years, will be moving on to the role of executive chef of Walt Disney World Resort's moderate value and standalone DVC properties. While he says the decision to leave the California Grill was a difficult one, he looks forward to the opportunities that await him in the newly created position. The holistic scope of the opportunity will allow me to develop and grow in new ways, said Chef Pasecki. But he isn't the only chef that will be leaving the Disney Signature Kitchens. Chef Tim Keating leaving Flying Fish Cafe. Court knew Joseph, executive chef Tim Keating of the Flying Fish at Disney's Boardwalk Inn, will be departing his role. Unlike Chef Psaki, however, it doesn't appear that Chef Keating will continue on with the Walt Disney Company, and so it appears that when Flying Fish reopens later this year, after undergoing extensive renovations, they'll have a new chef as well as a new look. So, yeah, they're playing, they're shuffling the deck here at their, or at least some of their signature restaurants. So, I don't know. Well, what say you guys, first of all?
Well, the thing with me is I didn't get the eat anything from the original, that from Mary Motors yet, so it really won't make a difference to me. I mean, when they can add talent to any of these restaurants is a plus, in my opinion. And I think with the chef from the California Grill, I mean, I guess he's going to be going over all the food courts or anything of the regular specialties throughout the whole property, I think.
Yeah, he's going to oversee multiple restaurants and kind of run that whole thing. He's very popular. I've met him once or twice, I believe. He's been around, and he's been at Disney for years. A very nice guy. And, you know, I think if he takes that to a higher position, it's only going to improve the other restaurants around. And, you know, that this is a good opportunity, too. I think that, you know, with new chefs coming in, they're going to bring some of this.
Put their own flair in.
Dishes and flair. And, you know, if, like, you know, let's just say the California Grill. Some people say it hasn't been as good as it was before, but they did the renovation or whatever. So, you know, somebody is going to come on there as the executive chef, and, you know, maybe it'll jumpstart or, you know, give a little kick to the menu and make it as good as it once was, if that's what people believe. So, yeah, I think this is all good. I mean, I don't, Chef Keating, I'm sorry to hear he's leaving the company, and whether that's a mutual agreeable thing or, you know, he's getting shown the door, I don't know. But, you know, over at the Flying Fish, you're going to get somebody new, and, you know, it'll be nice to go there and see what this particular chef has to offer on the new menu.
Hopefully they keep my potato wrap snapper. That's all I care about.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about.
Yeah, what do you think about this, John?
The potato wrap snapper is the one I want to try when Flying Fish opens back up. So as long as that's still on the menu, I think we'll be okay. So,
I think they'll keep it. It's a signature meal, so hopefully they do.
Yeah,
that's so popular, I can't imagine them taking it off. But hey, who knows? But
well, yeah, like just... you said, with the chef leaving California Grill for that new position, that sounds exciting. Maybe we can look forward to some of the food courts getting a little more inspiration in the kitchen. So.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. So yeah, it'll have an impact not only in the signature restaurants we mentioned, but maybe food quality across all of the restaurants that he's now going to be responsible for, or at least have an influence on, even though each of them facilities, I'm sure, will have their own executive chef or head chef or whatever the position is called. But he'll certainly be able to, you know, influence some of those you know, options at those places. So yeah, this is I wouldn't say it's exciting, but at least it's you know, it's going to shake the box, as they say, and hopefully we get better food out of it, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I hope something happens where with all these new restaurants and everything going to foodies, man, hopefully it stops some of the, like, the blandness of the menus across the board. Hopefully it opens up some more creativity with all these new restaurants, because I know you were getting upset with the dining plan making everything seem like every restaurant had to have a lot of the same things.
Exactly.
You know, hopefully this will shake some of that up too.
Yeah. I see it as a good thing. Overall, I don't see this as a negative at all.
And
let's see. It's back. The D23 Expo 2017 dates have been announced. When the D23 Expo, the convention produced by D23, the official Disney fan club, concluded last summer, it was at the end of a magical whirlwind weekend that saw the announcement of Disneyland and Walt Disney World's massive Star Wars-themed land, the premiere of the Disney Pixar short Riley's First Date, and a surprise appearance from Doug's favorite, Johnny Depp. Disney legends, and will show up later in the weekend dressed in full Captain Jack Sparrow garb. Today, the dates have been revealed for the D23 Expo 2017. learn when you can next indulge us in the ultimate Disney fan event and when you can grab your tickets. First off, the next D23 Expo will be held on the weekend of July 14th through the 16th, 2017. This is quite a change considering that the last year of the event was held over the weekend of August 14th through 16th. This also puts it 1 week ahead of San Diego Comic-Con, which will be held at the following weekend. It will once again be held at the Anaheim Convention Center, which is right down the street from Disneyland Resort. So, I'm kind of disappointed. I had heard that this might come out to Orlando one of these years, and I certainly, I've been a day one member myself. I don't know about you guys, but, I understand why they have it out there because they have access to the, all the movie stars and Hollywood and all that. So I guess it makes sense. But given the fact that, Disney World is by far a larger facility, and I think more people visit there than, any of the other theme parks in the world, let alone California, it would be nice to have it here. But
no, I think the only reason they do it out there, they had it here once in Orlando, didn't they? One time.
I don't think the D23.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I know they have the. There's a what on the off years. There's the smaller convention.
Yeah, that's smaller.
Had that
one.
Here
somewhere.
Yeah.
Not well, the big D23. Yeah.
I think the only reason they keep it in California makes it easier for all the stars to go. You don't want to inconvenience them or, Johnny Depp with his fake accent that he has now. Wasn't he born in America?
Yes, Tennessee, I believe.
Okay, now every time he talks, he's from London now, isn't he, or France? Where's he from?
France.
Yeah, what my point is, did you ever notice that he has this accent now? He just drives me insane. But, yeah, I think that's the whole reason they keep it in California is because it's easier for all the stars and all to get there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's a big, big part of it. They wouldn't have the star power, or they'd have to, pay for somebody to be flown across country and all that goes with
that. Plus, all the Disney bigwigs are right there at Disney Studios. Iger, the whole nine yards, are all there. They don't want to be inconvenienced and have to go to Florida for anybody else. God forbid,
I think 1 year eventually it'll be. But I'm just a little disappointed that, I'm not going to say the majority of Disney fans are from, east of the Mississippi, but boy, a large, at least half.
Throw us a bone once every few years.
Exactly. And, I don't know about the venue. I don't know what the facility is there. I've been out to Disneyland, but not to the facility where they have the expo. But, I would think they'd have to use the Amway Center maybe and downtown Orlando to host
actually
it.
our convention center is I think either the first or the second biggest in the entire country. The Orange County Convention Center is a massive piece of property down on International Drive,
so it's even closer.
So if they did bring it here, there's certainly enough room there. It takes up both sides of the street as you go down between SeaWorld and Universal.
Okay.
maybe that's part of it, is that they realize that they would have to hold it out there with the rest of the tourist industry instead of
within
being kind
the,
of
yeah
yeah
I get what you're saying, and I would think that hotel space would not be a problem either, right? In Florida,
absolutely. I don't get why they don't do it. I mean, it's something, like I said, the biggest thing I think it is all the major players live in California.
Yeah.
So why would they want to fly to Florida? Make us fly out there.
You're probably right. But anyways, I know a lot of people are, big D23 fans. And, in order to get your value from your membership, which I forget what it is now. I paid it, or the wife paid it. I don't remember what it was, but it's not big money. But,
something like $79 a year or something like that.
Yeah, and you get the magazine and all that stuff. But, reality of it is most of the really cool events are all on the West Coast, so I never get to do them. But I will say that, they do have traveling exhibitions and different things that come through the cities. Like I've seen a couple of the Disney animators that have come to Boston, and I've drove into Boston to see them. And, it's a free thing being a D23 member, and it's cool, but, nothing like it would be having something at the parks itself.
Well, that's the main reason I didn't continue, because you get all the discounts if you're a D23 member, and you can do it, But if it's never going to be in Orlando, that's why I stopped doing it. You understand? I'm not going to, like, I know it gives you discounts for local when they have local, but there's nothing ever local around me.
Right, right. Yeah,
there's nothing that pertains to me, if you follow me. That's what I ended up realizing.
I can't disagree with that. You know, I guess the only reason I keep it is I just like saying that I'm a day one.
Day one, but after a few years, I said, what am I? I get nothing out of this, because they even stopped giving you all the extra stuff they gave you.
Yeah, they've paired that.
Yeah.
We signed up for the first year, and I paid the money, and we got the – and I don't even think I got the gold membership, so I didn't even get the magazine. I got the silver. It was like $49 or something, and I think all we ended up getting was a certificate with Donald Duck on it, and that was about the extent of my $50 that I got for the – so – but they came out a couple of years ago where you could sign up for free, and you could just – you were able to read the website and stuff, and so we did that. So we got the free membership. But
so you're a D member. You're not a $23.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. That's all I got, guys, unless either you have a new story you want to throw out there.
No, the only thing I have before we get off is, it popped up a couple seconds ago, is the new Inside Out meet and greet is officially opened at Epcot now.
Cool.
Inside Out Meet and Greet with Joy and Sadness is now open at Epcot. It says Epcot Character Spot expanded further into former Interventions West space today. With the opening of the new Inside Out Meet and Greet, guests can meet Joy and Sadness from Inside Out Movie Daily from when park opens to park close. The meet and greet is located across the original character spot and adjacent to the recently opened Baymax Meet and Greet. Both Inside and Out and Baymax are standby only with separate queues and are not part of the FastPass Plus that guests can use for the original character spot with Mickey and friends. So you can go see Joy and Sadness. Oh, stop it. Yeah,
that's cool. They seem to be changing those characters out quite frequently. That's a good thing. Nothing's getting stale. And Stitch over at the Kingdom now, you can see different characters at different places, and that's all good.
Now I would like to see that's one of the things that my buddy Robbie sent me the other day. They were at the Baymax meet and greet, and he sent a picture of Baymax thinking I wouldn't know who it was. I said, come on, man, you got to get up earlier in the morning to beat me on this one.
Yeah.
So I got that one right away. He was like pretty impressed on that.
Yeah,
but
I would have failed on that question. I don't know why I would have came up with that name. That's the guy that looks like this Dave Puff Marshmallow Man there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Muslim man,
whatever. Yep, yeah, he's I got it right away. He was impressed by that. But I had to sneak off my scaffold and run in the other room and type in Baymax real quick and then hop back on my scaffold. And
see, we wonder why these jobs take so much. We got guys tweeting and texting about Baymax while they're supposed to be working.
Yeah, believe me, dude, it took 30 seconds.
I know.
But you know what I'm saying? It's like he was shocked by that. That's one of the things that honestly kept me going this week, which is a great thing.
A little diversion from the doldrums of the day-to-day work stuff, right?
Absolutely. It's fun. It gives me my little Disney fix. So that's it. I'll let John pick up the tab this week.
Oh, happy day. All right.
Yeah, you get to pay for the Bass and the Molson, and we didn't have that. We all had Irish coffee this morning. We recorded early.
Yes.
So, but that's going to be it for this week, guys. Please go over to iTunes and leave us a review. We really, really appreciate it. Head over to Twitter and follow John at Beer Solo, Dennis at Oak Manor, and me at Grumpy6767. You can find all of us at WDW Main Street. You can find us on Facebook if you want to yell at us over there. We'd be happy to hear from you, any of your suggestions on shows. And we will talk to you guys real soon. You have anything else?
No, I'm good. It's been a great show. Enjoyed talking some Disney, and we'll do it again next week.
I will talk to you guys real
soon. Oh, my siestas are getting shorter and shorter. Oh, look at all the people. And welcome to Walt Disney's Enchanted Tiki Room. Hey, Michael, mi amigo, pay attention, it's Joe time.
So it is, and what darling people I have sitting under me. Pierre, you rascal, you, let's put on the show.
Mon ami, I am always ready, as you say, to put on the show. Oh, pardon, madame. That whistle was for my good friend, Fritz.
Ach, du lieber, I almost fell out of my upper perch. Glad to see you all aboard, ashore, or wherever you are. Mein goodness, you're all staring at us. We better start the show rolling.
Wait, wait. We forgot to wake up the Glee Club.
Ole, it's show time.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
welcome to our tropical hideaway, you lucky people you. If we weren't in the show starting right away, we'd be the audience too.
All together in the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
I sing so beautiful, I should sing solo.
See, so low we can't hear you.
My voice may not be so marvelous, but my profile is out of this world.
Jawohl, but the trouble is, it's not far enough out of this world. Isn't that right, Herr Schmidt? I see, Schmidt has no hair.
Mi amigo, stop the clucking. You sound like a bunch of old hens. There's a lot of birds waiting to go on. For instance,
the boys in the back are called macaws.
Because of their claws?
No, because they're macaws. And our fine feathered friend is a jolly toucan. And toucan sounds better than one toucan can.
The bird of paradise is an elegant bird. It likes to be seen and it loves to be heard. Most little birdies will fly away, but the tiki room birds are here every day.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
our show is delightful, we hope you'll agree. We hope that it fills you with pleasure and glee. Because if we don't make you feel like that, we're gonna wind up on a lady's hat.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
all the birds sing words
and the flowers croon.
In the tiki 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 room,
our magnificent production is yet to come. So strum the guitar and beat the drum. We've been a hit and we know you adore us, so come on and join us in another chorus.
In the tiki 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 room, in the tiki 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 room,
a little softer.
All the birds sing words and the flowers croon. In the tiki 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 room.
Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.